want to say good morning because it's we've never recorded in the morning before, but
again, we tried to avoid it at all costs.
I know. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Welcome to the Go Make Pod. This is episode 5, I believe, which we got here.
Podcast know what number 5.
It's pretty exciting. I am Andrew, and this is my co-host.
Oh, that's me. I'm Chloe. You're my co-host, let's be honest. Let's just set that right. Hi, I'm Chloe. My co-host, Andrew.
That sounds better. I like that more.
Co-anchor.
You're the anchor, I'm the co-anchor.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna happen. Yes, welcome to the podcast. We're delighted that you've joined us, and we would like to introduce you to a wonder, a star, a classy lady, a phenomenal genius, known to her friends as Sandy, and also to you as Sandy, because that's her name. So we're delighted to have Sandeep on with us this morning. And she is going to talk to us about some of the things that she's very naturally skilled at. One, which is communication, and particularly communication online. So we're psyched to have you here, Sandeep. Thanks for giving us the time. It's lovely to talk to you. You're from Birmingham. Do you have a favorite word? Because that's how Birmingham people talk.
Well, I'm technically from the Black Country, which is outside of Birmingham, but I did live in Birmingham for 4 years, so I understand why everyone thinks I'm a Brummie. But
you
I am.
Sound like that.
I could go into the technicalities of accents here, but I won't. But hello, everyone. Thanks for having me on the show. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Cue crowd applause.
Yeah. Can you edit that in, please? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe I can find it. I think that's in there. I'll see what I can do.
Get some cheering going, please. Some hype, people, especially because it's morning.
Yeah, morning for us. Yeah. Thanks for being on. We're excited to talk to you today. I think a great way to start is just kind of telling us who you are, what do you do? Let's start there. Because you do some pretty cool stuff.
So I'm Sandeep. So I currently live at home with my parents. I'm 25 and I live a cool life. I've started roller skating. So I'm cool, man. I'm just cool. But what I do as work is I love my jobs. So I work primarily at a theatre company, a Christian theatre company called Saltmine, Saltmine Trust. And I'm the digital communications lead there. So I work there most of my time. And then I also work for my church part time as the online content creator, which kind of basically means that I do a lot of editing and producing a lot of content around the kids ministry. And we rebranded the youth ministry. And I make a few videos for like our online services that we've been doing during lockdown and stuff. And that's been a lot of fun. Like that was something that I picked up during lockdown because they needed the help, which was really cool. And then I also like dabble in presenting a little bit. And then also like a little bit of freelance work with different companies and small businesses to help with them, their social media presence and stuff like that. So I kind of spread myself a little bit, not too much, but just in the right things for this season, and it's awesome. I'm loving it. So that's me in a nutshell with what I do.
Social media is a big part of your professional life, it sounds like. As much a part of your personal life as well?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I went through a phase where I was like, oh, I just need to come off social media, and then I was like, oh, I can't because I work in it. It's like I'm trapped, but it's a good thing. I do use it professionally, of course, because I like manage a few different social media accounts. There's people who approach me like, can you help me with my social media? I'm like, I'm at capacity. Like I'm trying to just put out my own as well, but I do use it personally. I love connecting with people, and I have a lot of people in different countries, so it's nice to use social media to connect with people. That's my big thing. It's all about people, and kind of for me sharing my faith as well, and kind of using it as a platform to share messages, to encourage and uplift people. That's what I like to use it for, and to entertain people with my roller skating.
Yeah. Very fair. When we heard when we heard you were coming on and went on to stalk your social media naturally, because I was interested to know that you were a Christian who uses your social media to share your faith. And I was like, oh, what does that look like? Because I've seen it done, you know, epically badly. And generally will mute Christians on my own Instagram feed because of, well, I just, it makes me angry. So, and I was like, oh, I'll have to go on now and have to pretend that I like what you, and then I went on, Sandeep, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is so, that you've done it so well. There's no hashtag blessed stuff and there's no quoting Bible verses. No. And by the way, Andrew has a post that he quoted from Mark 16:15. Yeah, we won't go into
that. Was 2013.
Yeah, well, still it happened, didn't it? So, but like, I have to say, there was a, you made me think about my own social media as somebody who wants to share my faith, but having seen it done badly has gone so reactionary in the other direction where I just like, oh, here's a selfie every once in a year.
Yeah, or you just wait till Easter and it's like, let me just say he's alive.
No, I'm genuinely.
No context, just he's alive.
I just post a funny meme at Easter to make fun of the Christians who post about him being.
Well, alive. I've started doing that. I think that's going to be my thing. Like this year it was Dolly Parton, and I was like, I just posted her singing "He's Alive." So I was like, this is for a non-Christian. This is exactly how it must seem. Like someone's just going, "He's alive!" Like that's actually really annoying. Like, if there's no context to it, it's like, what do I do with that?
Yeah,
it's funny. But thank you, Chloe. I appreciate that. And yeah, I mean,
I'm curious. Do you deliberately sit down and think of a strategy for your own personal social media, like you would with your job?
So no, I don't do that. What I did plan out though, like, there was a point earlier this year. So basically, in December, I took a massive detox and I detoxed from my personal social media for a month. That was just because of personal reasons that social media wasn't healthy to me at that point. So like detox for the month. I still had to keep social media because of work, but I was like, I just need to detox and get off it. And during that time, I kind of was like on my own journey and stuff. But when I came back, I had thought like, okay, how do I want to be using social media? It wasn't like I sat down and did a mind map or anything like that, but I just thought about it in my head, like, what do I want to do? And something that I challenged myself to do was I want to be sharing my faith. I want to be vocal about it a bit more and be intentional. It was the intentional thing, like, because I do it very randomly, but I wanted to be intentional with it this time. And so I just thought about, like, how can I set out my grid? Because with Instagram in particularly, I like my grid to look nice. Like, I'm a shallow person, okay? I like it to look good.
Now, hang on a second. Let's not associate appreciating aesthetics with
that's shallowness. True.
As an artist myself, I'm defend you, Sandy. You like rock that aesthetic look.
Thank you. So I was like, okay, how can I do this? And so like on my grid, I have like a line that I just keep white that I use just for quotes and things. And so within that, I'll use like scriptures that I'm learning from, but I'll just quote them. I'll reference them in the caption, but not on the image. And so, yeah, so I started just like each week, kind of like something to share, like something that I'm learning or something that's spoken to me. I just share it out. And it's gone quite well. Like,
yeah. The unique thing I think about what you're sharing as well is that you're quite careful in the language that you choose.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're as Christians, we are ripe for the Christianese and the jargon.
Yeah.
And we will put up things that just make literally no sense.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm so on fire today for the Lord. And like one of my friends reads that and goes, you need to go to the doctor there. You know, like that sort of vibes. So we consistently use language within the Christian culture that is very inaccessible, but you are not doing that. So I think that's something that sounds like has also been intentional, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. For me, I'm like, I want my followers to be more non-Christian than Christian. Because I'm like, if you're you've got it if you're Christian, like you're sorted, you've got eternity, like go carry on, like, you know. But like non-Christians, I'm like, hey, let's be friends. Like, I would love to journey with you, like, or I just love to hear some of the questions you have. Not to say that I'm like, if you're Christian, don't listen to me. Like,
no,
like, from my post, I've had a lot of Christian friends message me asking me questions about faith and being like, okay, listen, I'm struggling with like finding community, or I'm struggling with this, or what do you think about this in the Bible, blah, blah, blah. And it's great because there's great conversations that come from it. But I think for me, primarily, I'm very aware that I do have a non-Christian audience as well, and friends of mine that are non-Christian that follow me. And so I just want my social media to reflect my real life. If I was having a conversation with someone, I wouldn't be using Christian jargon. I'd just be chatting like I'm talking to you guys. And that's how I like my social media to be. And that's my philosophy with social media. If you're using it personally, like take business aside, social media should always reflect your real life. So if you're wanting to share your faith online, you must be having conversations in real life as well. Like else it's not matching, and you're kind of that in itself. If you're only posting online but not having real conversations about faith, it's almost like, are you using social media because you don't have to face anybody? And so it's easy to do that. And they're like really valid questions to ask yourself, but they must always line up, the real world and your online world. They should match up really well, I think. So I try and do that as much as I can. So I don't plan ahead with what I post. I kind of am like, God, what are you teaching me this week? Like, what can I post out? Like, so like this week I posted something about loss and something that I've been learning recently, and I just shared it. And then my friend commented and was like, I needed this today. And I was like, cool. If it was just for you, there you go. That is it. Like,
cool.
Like that.
Do you get much, are many messages from people who aren't Christians asking you about the stuff that you post?
Yeah, like not many, but I tell a lie. A friend of mine recently actually had a situation going on, and she reached out to me because she needed some kind of, she was like, do you know about this church? You know, there was like a whole issue happening and like something quite spiritual. And she was like, sorry, but I just need to know, like, what does this mean? What does that mean? And that was just the other day. That was quite refreshing because like she was someone I went to uni with that I'd like, we had many conversations about life, faith and God and stuff. And she doesn't believe in God, but she's open and she enjoys talking about spiritual things. Recently, I've had more Christians ask me questions than non-Christians, which I'm like, that's fine. Where are the non-Christians at? But it's fine. But and so, yeah, so there's been occasions where, you know what, there's been occasions where people have reached out to me who I don't even realize are following me.
Mm.
And they will like be like, just reach out to like share like, oh, that really inspired me or something. I had this last year. I like shared my journey with something and how God had been helping me in that and what I was learning through it. And I had this message from someone at my school, and like she was in like the less popular crowd. Like, so we didn't really talk at school. And she messaged me out the blue and was like, hey, I've been following your journey with how you're sharing your faith. And she was just like, this is really inspiring. And I didn't know where she was at with her faith at that point, but we had a really lovely conversation from it. So that's something that I love about the online world. You never know who you're reaching. And I think that's the power that's in it, that actually, like the Bible talks about the results being left to God. Like, you just spread those seeds and then he'll do the rest. And I think even with the online world, there's that element to it. I mean, I don't think that for everything where it's like just post and then leave the results to God. I genuinely think we need to be invitational with people, like, and invite people into a conversation and be willing to follow up as well. But yeah, so I've had a few people.
I would absolutely agree with you there. And I think as well, you know, it's lovely that Christians will reach out and talk about their faith online in a world where I'm sure it feels overwhelming. We're doing some work at this website called knowgod.ie in Ireland, and the comments that we get on social media are quite hilarious. Like, I woke up to one from some man who was like, another pack of crackpots. So like, it's hard to be a Christian online. Like, it's hard to reach out and put things out there because there's a lot of so if somebody, Christians are seeing this happen and see you doing it, that's a huge impact and movement in itself for them journeying towards Jesus, you know. And I think that's where
I had a friend who runs a Christian clothing company, and he uses the online space really well. So he's got a reach of about 8,000 following or something like that on Instagram. So he did a little thing during lockdown where he shared people's testimonies and stories of how they met God. And through doing that, I asked him, like, what came out of that when you did it? Did you find that you were reaching more non-Christians or were Christians? Because his base is like primarily Christian following. But he found that there was more Christians getting in touch to be like, can I share my faith? Like, hey, can I share my story? Like, who had never shared their story before, but wanted the opportunity. And he was like, sure. Like, and so that was interesting, that actually it's quite contagious when you feel a community online where you're like, and you understand, I have a reach of people that I only can reach in a certain way. Like, God wants to use me in this sphere to influence people and to reach them. And it's only you who can do that. Or there's things that God wants to use you for specifically. Oh, you just got to jump in it. And it's contagious. Yeah. Catch that thinking and realize that.
There's something very beautiful about that as well, because it's then less about using social media to build your own personal platform of being a global teacher of all things Christian. And it's more about a spiritual multiplication of yourself. Absolutely. In terms of like people catching the vision of like, I'm just going to be real online. And that's maybe more the heart of what evangelism is than it is about having a big reach as a person, like one person with a big platform.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, you know, it's like God doesn't need us to do this. He could click his fingers and everyone would see who he is, like in a moment. But he lets us be a part of it. And it's like, if you've got something that's like the best news in the world and you've literally got the answer to every question people have, you're going to want to like use that. Or like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm extrovert. No, I feel like everyone would want to do that. Like if you've got the answer to someone's problem, you're going to be like, hey, try this. Like, you know,
you ever think that maybe God sits there sometimes and clicks his fingers and goes, it doesn't do what people think.
Yeah, he's just like Thanos.
Like, I don't know why.
That's a terrible comparison. He's definitely not Thanos. But yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. I think talking about evangelism and what that maybe looks like online, do you feel like that's changed over the last year? Like, I think all of us have been trapped inside and trapped on our phones and trapped on Zoom and stuff like that.
An episode of Black Mirror.
For real.
Yeah, literally. In
a lot of ways. Do you feel like social media has changed over the last year just because everybody has to be on it or everybody has to be online to communicate with each other?
I think the online world has shifted during lockdown, because if you look just from the perspective of not just individuals but churches, like everything shifted online, which I've been waiting for. I've been like, flipping heck, it took a pandemic for us to get online. Really? Like, did we not realize we could reach these many people anyways? Like, was I the only one? But like, I think that social media has definitely shifted during lockdown in many different ways, not just with like faith and spiritual things, but like social justice issues and stuff like that, which I think we'll touch on later. But like, yeah, like it's definitely shifted. I feel like Christians are owning it more. Whether they're doing it well or not is a whole other issue. Imagine like during the lockdown we've had the George Floyd stuff in America. There's been a lot of American influence that's happened with social media. We've had the Trump and all of what's been happening in politics. Americans. And can I just say that has really, really been, I feel like, terrible because if it's politics that's making you engage as a Christian with people,
yeah,
that's terrible. I'm sorry. Yeah. It should not be politics that's getting you to speak out. It should be Christ. Like, end up. But I feel like, you know, during the end of the pandemic, everyone suddenly got this voice of like, yeah, like Christ is the way, because you have a leader that's saying it, but at the same time not showing it. It's like, I mean, I hate politics in general. I'm not a fan of Biden either. Like, so I don't want people thinking I'm just hating on Trump. Like, but like, you know, there's a lot of influence in the West in particularly on how we use social media. And I think as Christians, I'm like, it's been great. The pandemic's been great because it's forced us into getting online more. But I think in many ways, it's also kind of just been a little bit noisy at the same time.
I think that quite a lot of people turn their own platforms.
Anyone to describe it.
Oh, we're talking over each other and super awkward.
Yeah, come on. What did you say?
I said I totally agree with you. I think people have, you know, sort of felt a pressure to bandwagon onto certain issues and like criticism if you don't bandwagon on. I'm not a bandwagoner to issues. I don't want to start posting about something I don't fully understand. Don't have the time or the headspace to go and investigate and everything. But and I find it hard when people start preaching on their stories and I'm like, who are you talking to?
Who is this for? Like
that. And there's also really like they are the problem over there. And and if I post about this, then I'm not part of the problem. So
yeah. And that's where I think we can all be guilty of this, but we all fall short in that aspect where we don't stick ourselves in the same category as those we're talking to. I think that's the, like, for me, if I'm sharing something on social media, that it's something I'm learning. So I'm in this with you kind of thing. Yeah. Like, that's always the perspective I come from, because I'm like, we're in it together, like togetherness, inclusive. Like, I'm that person. I'm like, I want everyone to just be friends. Like, so I'm like, I'm in that with you, like, or this is something I'm learning. And I'm quite raw with that, because even like, okay, bringing it back to roller skating, which I'm sorry to do this, but when I've posted things about roller skating, so I will post like where I'm making progress. I'll also always post like a fail compilation of all my falls, because it keeps you humble. Like, and also, well, do you know what's annoying though? I posted these two reels once. This is a tangent. You might want to cut this out, but posted two reels, and I posted one of my progress and one of my falls compilation. And the one that got more views was the falls compilation. People want to see you fail. Okay. But I also think I think the internet likes vulnerability.
Yeah.
I think if we can open ourselves up and be vulnerable and be like, hey, I'm struggling with this, what do you guys think? Or, but I found that this helps when I struggle with this. Like, I think that can be helpful. I think that's what people want.
Yeah.
They want to see that you struggle. People, because like I was talking to some friends the other day, and was talking about our younger years and like how our parents lecture us now and we'll quote like your rebellious days. And I was like, I don't think I've had any rebellious days, not gonna lie. Not that I'm perfect, but like both my friends piped up really quick and was like, you're so good, Sandeep. Like, you're so good. You're so good. You don't do anything wrong. And a part of me was like, oh, thanks. But then a part of me was like, damn, is that what you think of me? Because I'm not that good. Like, I understand the sin in my life. Like, I recognize that. Like, I can pick that out, like, and stuff like that. So the perception people have of you, I think vulnerability is important, because as Christians, people can think that to know God just means, oh, you're perfect and you've got everything figured out. Whereas actually, once you start sharing your walk and you pull out the nitty gritty bits that's like difficult and messy, that's what people want to be seeing. They want to be seeing, how does God show up in the mess?
Yeah, it's a very different way of approaching evangelism sometimes. Yeah. Can come across as like, you have all the questions and we have all the answers, you know. And we say that as Christians because we have a worldview that we feel has far-reaching horizons of exploration available in terms of understanding how the world works and why things happen. But to somebody who sits there, it goes, you're actually just communicating togetherness and a lack of vulnerability when you think, you know. And it's a really interesting trend to consider that vulnerability is necessary for transparency.
Yeah, I think that's super challenging for me, because I haven't posted on Instagram or anything in over a year. I know, it's wild. But even before that, I don't think I would post something that I didn't feel like was complete or you know, ready to be posted. So I definitely struggle with posting things or engaging with vulnerability online. I like that you said you're posting progress things, and you posted fail compilations of you learning how to roller skate. And that's something like, I don't know if I would do, because I think that's also partly of what I do in other parts of my life, of not wanting to execute until I feel completely ready or completely prepared or like, yeah, something's full.
Because as well, like, there's parts of my life that at the moment I'm working through and figuring out. And so I cannot share them online, because I'm like, I don't understand this portion of my life. Like, and it's like, and I think that's okay. Like, when you need to just actually just deal with things in the real world, sometimes it's not ready to be shared online, like, or never will be. And that is okay as well.
Yeah.
Yes, I think you're right. There's a way to do vulnerability well, and it's not, as Brené Brown would call it, floodlighting people with the unresolved issue that you're facing.
Yeah.
When it's a dangerous thing to do, I think, when you're trying to get online interaction for something that you really actually maybe need to keep to yourself for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get like, you know, intentional input on.
Yeah. And that's why I think, like, for me on my social media, like, no, I don't even know where I was going with that. My mind just stopped.
And
I started that sentence, my mind just stopped, and I was like, nothing at the end of that.
That happens to me about 20 times a day. I think we've talked a lot about content that you make, which is amazing. But I think it would be good to talk about the content that we all consume, because I know that I follow a ton of people. I'm a lurker online. Like I just take in what people post, and I never contribute anything myself, which I probably should change. But the amount of content is unlimited, and I think as Christians, there might be something, or maybe there's a line, or maybe some boundaries that we need to set about the things that we consume. What do you think about that?
I think definitely we need to be cautious of what we're taking in, but not overly cautious that you only stick to one viewpoint and take in one perspective, because then you'll never, it's a tricky one. I think it depends. Okay. Thoughts. So I think it depends on where you're at in your life and how you're doing emotionally, mentally, spiritually, right? Because for example, I intentionally follow Russell Brand and his podcasts, because he is really leading discussions around spirituality. And I think he's putting a lot of Christians to shame on it, because he's really leading it well. He's getting different perspectives on, different people with different perspectives on, and he's engaging in all these conversations about spirituality to come to some sort of truth. Now, the only downfall I have of his podcast is that he never concludes in a way that wraps it up to one specific truth. It's very open. He leaves it very open, and everything's truth and whatever, which I don't agree with. But I intentionally follow him because I actually think it's good for me to know what do other people believe and think, because actually that will help me to know how to engage with someone or understand them more. And that's, we have to be understanding one another, for one. I also think, I say it's like dependent on where you're at emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, because there might be a portion in life or a time where social media can be really noisy and there's just too much to consume. And actually we need to be able to decipher what's healthy and not healthy. So for example, I can speak from a perspective when it comes to race issues. I'm very choosy who I will follow and listen to and who I'll let into that subject, because sometimes even if it's really good stuff that's speaking truth into that, sometimes it's just really, really loud, and it triggers trauma that people and experiences that people have gone through. And especially for me, I know that can happen for me. So like, I'm like, particularly with the issues within America, I found this really good movement there called the One Race Movement. So I follow them on Instagram, and they post about the issue of race, but from a perspective that includes God in the mix. Yeah. And that for me is really healthy. And that helps me a lot, because it's good content that is including God in the issue. But it really is dependent on where you're at in your walk. Because for example, someone might follow Russell Brand and actually it'll take them wayward, that they'll start getting confused or they'll start believing nonsense. And I think if that happens, we need to know, okay, that's not so healthy for me at the moment. I'm going to stop that and move somewhere else. It's healthy boundaries with consuming, I think. And it can be hard, but we've got to be strict with ourselves on what we consume. Else we're just going to, you know, there's that saying that's like, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. That's so easy to do on the internet. Yeah. Like, and if we don't like kind of, yeah, get a lid on our boundaries and what we're allowing in and what we want to take in, like we're just going to literally let everything in and we'll not know where we stand on things.
Right. Yeah. I think that's super well put. It made me think of something somebody told me probably 10 years ago now, that they said, for every two or three books you read that you agree with, read one that you know you won't agree with. And yeah. I think that balances your perspective. It broadens your worldview. It broadens your ideas of what other people think and what other people believe. And so the social media version of that is basically what you just said, which was great. Like, I know that my timeline, what do you call it on Instagram and Twitter? Your grid? The people I follow.
Your explore page.
Yeah, like it's definitely full of things that aren't that aren't all Christian, and there's a lot of different perspectives on there that I don't necessarily agree with, but I think I benefit from reading or hearing about or watching. I like that.
It's avoiding the echo chamber, right? So and the like attract like culture. I love that point, Sandeep, about entertaining other perspectives, because I think often the role of the prophetic that you consider throughout the Bible has been removed from the Western church, leaning more towards the shepherding and the teaching roles, right? So I actually think that the role of the prophetic sometimes is active in secular voices like Russell Brand. Now that's, you know, some Christians are going to have a heyday with what I just said. But I mean, Ricky Gervais says so much that Christians should pay attention to. I think anything that we're offended by, we should pay so much attention to. Lil Nas X, let's go explore it. Like, do you know what I mean? Why not? Because it's really going to bring up, you know, the truth of a lot of the truths about us. Like Lil Nas X posted on his social media a video of a church lambasting him and criticizing him, and really strong, like calling him very strong words or whatever. And I was so struck by it because he'd produced a set of runners called Satan Nikes or something. And I was like, wow, this is just, anyway, I feel like Jesus would go hang out with these people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's where we forget that, like, you know, the Bible talks about our warfare being against, not being against flesh and blood, but actually spiritual principle. It gives a different perspective, I think, when you see these things, like you look at the music industries and stuff like that. There's something deeper going on there.
Absolutely. And our faith is not a China teacup that we have to protect.
Yeah. And people have been used in that. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have to, like, I think we often operate a little bit like a Pharisee approach to faith, where we think we have to protect it with all our ritualistic.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, no, we don't. Like,
not a delicate China cup that you're keeping in a cupboard going, don't touch my faith.
Yeah, and this is the thing, that's what I said earlier, like, God really doesn't need us to do anything. Mm-mm. He really doesn't, like, if God wants to show up in someone's life, he can just do that, and he will do that, and he does do that, like, but he wants to use people, and he wants to give us an opportunity to know him more through our sharing, to help others know him more, and that's the thing, it's like, it's so amazing how God does that, because it blows my mind that God really, I have to remind myself, God doesn't need me to do anything. I don't need to be posting online. But God allows me, like, God gives me the privilege to be able to do that. And he's put a desire in me to do that. And
so similarly, invitational.
Yes, invitational as well.
Well, fair girl.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think being around for the MySpace generation, which Chloe and I were, to seeing what social media is today, it's a completely different world. It has evolved from having top 8 friends and doing quizzes on forums for your friends to building entire communities and even movements through social media. You touched on it just a little bit earlier, and I think I want to touch on it just a little bit again of the role that social media played in things like social justice issues, and that's happened a lot over the past year. I don't know the right question to ask here. What do you feel like? I don't know. What am I trying to ask, Chloe?
Like, what role does social media play in that?
Yeah.
In building movements.
Oh. So with movements and social media, I guess the thing is that during the pandemic specifically, I think we've seen a shift in how social media has moved alongside with movements of social justice massively. The first thing being George Floyd during the pandemic, that just sparked something that I haven't seen. I don't think many in my generation have seen before. But it awoke this kind of pattern of how social media can be used by the ordinary person to make change and to be loud with that change. Now, this is really good because actually it exposes the wrong that's there. I mean, the issues have always been there. So like when it comes to racism and stuff, these issues have always been there. Like people have experienced it, will tell you, for years, like the 60s, the 70s. If I talk to my dad, he can explain everything that was going on there, but it just was never exposed and dealt with. Whereas now I think there's a thing where social media is playing that role, that people are being held to accountability with certain things, which I think is needed. But then there's also the other side of that, where it's like you have cancel culture, where it's like people are held so far to their being held accountable so far that actually we just cancel them completely. Which, you know, there's parts of me that's like, well, yeah, there are some people that just need to get off the internet. But at the same time, it's like, who makes the decisions on what is important and what's not, and what needs to be cancelled and not? So that's an interesting thing. But I think, yeah, I've definitely seen a shift with, you know, particularly with the race issues and things like that, and social justice. And I think it's really important that as Christians, like, it comes back to what we consume, but like, we are cautious of what we consume with those issues. Like, I know for me, like I said earlier, like, I've experienced racism. I know a lot of people who have, and actually seeing it all the time is exhausting. Having to kind of explain it to people is exhausting. Seeing people have this revelation of their own white privilege is exhausting, like, to see, because it's like, it's not about you, but also it's a really good thing because you need to realize this, but I just really don't want to listen to it. And you know, and so I think it's a really good, I think social media is playing its part in a way that it's giving a voice to a lot of people. Now, that can be good and bad.
So I think you've actually you've hit something on the head there with social media. Actually, there's a woman who writes a lot about how social media is affecting society. She's called Carlotta Perez. And she said the same thing that you've said, Sandy. So, you know, you should call her up and just say, like, I'll take over your job. But she said that social media has changed how corporations sell, how politicians get elected. And a couple of other things, but mostly because it has changed how the ordinary person views themselves in the world. So power structures everywhere are quaking because now the power has shifted.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be a good thing, but also a really bad thing. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, like, the worldview I hold is that I hear a lot of people say, like, oh, social media is just terrible, like, it's a terrible thing. And it's like, no, it's not. You are the terrible thing. You can either use that for good or you can use it for evil. If someone puts a gun on a table, you can pick that up and use it for bad, or you can just leave it there and it won't do anything. Like, we're the problem here. Like, and it's thinking of, okay, how do I use social media as a tool of good? But like, with social justice, it can be exhausting because it's like, what do you, now that there's, and this is what I was saying with the George Floyd incident, it's kind of, during lockdown, it's awoken this pattern that is being replicated across different movements now. So we've got the Black Lives Matter movement, which the message is so key. Like, and it's just, it's come out at a point where people are listening. Like, that's never happened before. Like, we've never had the amount of people realize their white privileges they have now, you know? But equally, you've got like the Me Too movement. You've got all these other movements. Again, these are really Western things, like, which happen across the world, but the West kind of brand it in a specific way that we in the UK grab onto what America's doing. We then follow, you know, it's that kind of thing. And I think, what am I saying? I think with that, we've got to be careful of, do we have the capacity as human beings to jump on every single thing? How can we do this authentically is the question we've got to ask ourselves. And sometimes we can jump on things way too quick that then we're like, I do not have the capacity to follow this through long term. And that's where it becomes this thing of, you've done a post on social media, so you feel like you're really woke and you've added to this and you've changed the world. No, you haven't, because you probably, you're when it comes to race issues in particularly, I know there are people that have maybe posted online, feel like they're doing a really good thing, but actually in real life, their circle of people that they surround themselves with is really not diverse. They don't even have any friends to actually approach and talk to about this. So then posting online does absolutely nothing in the bigger picture, like nothing. And so it's questioning, how do we do this authentically? What issues do we hold to? Because as Christians, we should be having a place in these issues in real life. And then the online world is a space that secondarily we can engage in that. Like, and again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning. If it doesn't reflect the real world, if your online world doesn't reflect your real world, meaningless, pointless, stop. Like, get off. Get into the real world and figure it out.
Bang!
Online. Like, honestly, and especially with social justice, because, it was hard enough. Because I think there was a lot of issues that obviously we had the restrictions that didn't allow us to actually engage in the real world. So it had to come through the online world. But now things are shifting a little bit more. So I think the good question to ask is, how do I be authentic in these social justice issues as a Christian? Question.
And what you said, you know, there, I thought you just said it so clearly about, like, we are the problem.
Like, yeah, we are.
And like, how we use it is really important.
I know, but you
succinctly put together a response to a common idea. We're having internet problems. Are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
We're back. But you have succinctly put some, you really hit the nail on the head with something really profound there. I'm very excited about this podcast and I'm a little bit overwhelmed.
There will be other people with a different school of thought to me on that. Well, you know, you can really argue all day long about the gun on the table and stuff. But yeah, we are the problem. So, well, we can be the problem, but we can also be the solution.
Yeah. Yeah. I think...
God's clicking his fingers all over the shop today.
Woo! Sandeep, we could talk to you for another 3 or 4 or 5 hours about all of this stuff and unwrap a lot more of the topics we touched on today, but we are running out of time and I just there's so much I think in that episode that is so valuable, I think it's important to remember that we don't just represent ourselves online, but we represent Christ as well, and I think Sandeep, you do it so well and I'm so impressed with it, and I'm super grateful that you took some time to talk with us today, to share your perspective and just a lot of what you do and how you use social media, not just for yourself, but for the Lord. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah. We love you, Sandeep. I think you should come back and we'll just make this whole podcast into you talking.
Yes!
Sandeep Show.
I did live.
Yeah,
guys. Sandeep, thanks again. How can people follow you or get in touch with you if they have questions?
Yeah, so they can follow me on Instagram or get me on Facebook. My Instagram handle's at Miss Sands with Z on the end. You'll probably you can't put text on this, it's not a video.
I can link it.
Yeah, link it in there. But yeah, they can get me on there, and that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay, sounds good. And then, as always, you can follow us at Go Make Pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're on there as well. So check it out.
Are we? Facebook?
We've got a page. But nice. we do everything else through Instagram, and it just kind of like flows out from there, as I think most do these days. But yeah, this has been great. We are excited for
you. Sandeep, it has been a true pleasure.
Boop, 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 boop. Love you guys.
Okay. Sandy, come back and see us soon, please.
Yes, please.
I will.
You promise?
Yeah. When you want me, you can have me.
Sounds good.
All right. That's all.
Peace out.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.